Real Business Owners.
What's up, Real Business Owners? Welcome to episode 23. You guys, it's called Real Business Owners because we got to drop some real information for you guys. And today we're going to drop some real information that is going to pertain to your business, taxes and accounting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys know from listening to the show, it's what we do. Here we are in quarter four. There's some stuff you guys need to make sure you're doing. And so we thought we'd bring a little bit of knowledge to you guys today on taxes and accounting. As you know, this is sponsored by Easier Accounting, and it's where accounting gets easier.
Well, duh. Everybody already knows that if you're listening to the podcast by now. Well, yeah. I hope so. If not, you need to go back and re-listen to all the other episodes that state that Easier Accounting is the best accounting firm in the United States, hands down. Guys, what we wanted to do for you today is just bring you guys value. We know the majority of our listeners are entrepreneurs, business owners, or people who want to be entrepreneurs or business owners. And so we wanted to give you guys kind of some tax tips or some nuggets, some things that we see that people maybe miss or overthink or overlook in regards to their tax and accounting stuff. And, you know, first things first, when it comes to starting a business, what's the first thing you do? Set up an entity, right?
And some people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go into, just barely. I was going to say. Some people choose to do a sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's the most cost efficient. It doesn't really cost anything to set up a sole proprietor. So they go the least path of resistance financially, really. When in reality, you're not protecting yourself at all being a sole proprietor. And part of growing or starting a business is you're going to want protection. You know, there's how many different entities that exist right now, Kel? Are you aware of?
Oh, there's tons, man. Yeah. You know, like above and beyond your standards, you know,
LLC,
yeah. S-Corp, C-Corp. I mean, you've got FLPs, LLPs, LPs. Yeah, I mean, all kinds of stuff, man. But we'll just talk about the basics because, I mean, that's what pertains to most people.
Yeah. So most people, if they don't set up as a sole proprietor, are normally directed down the path or – you know, they heard from a friend or family member that, man, you really need to set up an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I mean,
in some cases, it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, not true.
Yeah. Like, I mean, dude, if it was super, super startup mode and they live in California, I mean, there are some situations I wouldn't recommend setting up an LLC. It might be better to stay a sole proprietorship until you have a little bit of revenue coming in. Mm-hmm. California's a horrible state. You get taxed on everything. Just for having an LLC, it's $800 a year, you know? And so, but an LLC is like a very versatile thing, man. An LLC can be an S corp. An LLC can be a C corp. It can be taxed as a sole proprietorship, you know? But if you're just a sole proprietorship with no LLC, no separation at all, yeah, man, you're fully exposed.
Yeah.
You are at the most risk.
I mean, guys, we get on the phone with a lot of people that reach out to us, whether it's from Real Business Owners or some of the entrepreneur groups that we're in, or whether it's just some marketing campaigns that we have. And one of the first questions that I ask is, how are you structured? Right? Because a lot of people are still an LLC after they're making quite a bit of money from their business.
Yeah, a single member LLC just taxes a sole proprietor.
Okay,
yeah.
So an LLC is bad in certain cases because there's the self-employment tax. Usually that's really where you're going to want to save the majority of your money by switching that LLC over to an S-Corp or elect to have it be taxed as an S-Corp, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What would you say the number is that somebody should be looking for in terms of maybe what they're pulling out of that entity before they should be thinking about maybe switching over to that S-Corp?
You know, there's a lot of factors like, is their spouse employed? Is their spouse working? I mean, there's all kinds of things that can come into play, but usually about $30,000-$40,000 in profit above and beyond your expenses, you need to start looking at electing that S corporation status of your LLC.
So if you guys are currently already structured as an LLC and you guys are thinking about maybe I should, you know, look into, you know, having my LLC be taxed as an S corp, you guys need to understand that that can only happen for 2.5 months out of every year. Mm-hmm. So from January 1st to March 15th, every single year is kind of the gap that you can elect to have your LLC taxed as an S corp. And as Kel just stated, in the majority of cases, if you're pulling, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year out of that LLC,
you should be probably looking at being taxed as an S-corp. You get to remain an LLC. Your EIN doesn't change. It's just a simple piece of paper that you send into the IRS to have your LLC be taxed at the same level as an S-corp, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And we do it all the time for people, man. Because, I mean, people want to do as little as they possibly can when it comes to taxes. But again, I mean, that's why we're doing this whole episode, because it's the end of the year and we want people to take action. And this isn't for us. You guys don't have to call us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, bottom line is we want you to get things in order and understand a little bit about this. Yes, if you have had a decent year and you know you've made over 40, 50, 60, 70,000 bucks and you're an LLC taxed as a sole pro, I mean, you might want to call someone before the end of the year, because it is possible you could still run a payroll or two, pay yourself properly, run the rest of your income through an S corporation, even backdated to the beginning of the year, and eliminate paying that 15.3% Social Security tax known as the self-employment taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
So explain that just a little bit more, because I don't think a lot of people, you know, you just kind of brushed over it because you're very familiar with it, right? And,
right.
And, so an S-corp doesn't have self-employment tax that an LLC does?
Yeah, well, if your LLC is a single member and it's set up to be taxed as a sole proprietorship, it's absolutely a great engine in the startup phase, because you've got liability protections and you can use it to get organized and get separate bank accounts set up, because your EIN number that you get for your LLC, no matter how you're taxed, is your Social Security number for your business, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you go out and get bank accounts and things like that. So you want to utilize that tool. But the second you start making money and you start creating revenue, you do want to start looking at options like S corporation, because it's the self-employment tax is really Social Security, but you're paying the employee and the employer side of it. So what the IRS does is they say, okay, well, someone's self-employed. Let's say you're a real estate agent and you made 150 G's, you know, profit.
Yeah.
Or just 100 G's profit.
Yeah.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to make you pay your state and your federal income taxes like regular. And then they're going to say, okay, well, you also need to pay your Social Security tax. We call it self-employment taxes. And since you're not in, you know, employed by, and you haven't been paying it in your paychecks all year long and you don't have a company matching it, we're going to make you pay both sides of it. It ends up being total 15.3%.
So if you have just the S corp itself, you cut that in half, right? You pay what, 7.6% instead of 15 point whatever it is?
Well, not necessarily. So that's the cool thing, is corporations are taxed differently than, you know, single member LLCs or sole proprietorships. Corporations don't pay self-employment tax at all.
At all.
But what they do say in the IRS tax code is that, you know, in order to make this fair, we have to have a rule in there that's like, if you're going to take your income as a corporation now, whether it's S or C, you can't take dividends unless you are paying yourself a fair and reasonable salary. Now, the IRS talks about this in the tax code. They don't put a percentage. They don't put limits. They don't anything.
Okay? Super great.
But on the first $130,000 of your income, you are going to be taxed on your profit. You're going to be taxed as a sole proprietorship, the full 15.3%. On an S corporation, you're not going to be taxed on any of it. So there's a lot of arguments in the CPA land and accounting land that's like, well, what is fair and reasonable salary?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honestly, no one really knows.
Yeah.
There's been audits that come back and forth, and a lot of times it's come down to like, well, what is your duties in the company worth? Well, if you are now the operator of a business and you're handling more of the administrative duties and that's all you're doing, and the other companies, parts of the company are running themselves, well, I mean, it's pretty fair to pay yourself
what would you pay a salary of an admin.
You know, if
you pay 30 grand a year to an admin, somebody that would be operating, doing some back end stuff, then you would pay yourself $30,000. So again, if we're using a $100,000 number.
Well, I mean, let's be real. I mean, even admins that make $500 a week, that's basically $24,000 a year. So if you made 130, you know, or let's just go to the 100 grand analogy, and you paid yourself that 24,000 or even up to 30,000, that $70,000 that you flow through the corporation directly to you, you're saving the full 15.3% on.
Okay. So that's over $10,000 in savings just right there. If you guys add that up, if you make 100 grand a year and you have an LLC set up, or, you know, and you're thinking about maybe switching over to an S corp, you shouldn't be thinking about it. You should be talking to somebody about it to make sure, again, not everything that we say in this episode, we expect you guys to go out and just start changing and this. make sure that you guys are consulting somebody. You guys can definitely reach out to us here at Easier Accounting. That's cool. You know, we answer all the direct messages that we've received so far, and we've hopped on phone calls, and, you know, we're more than willing to try to guide you guys in the right direction. But, you know, if you guys have somebody that already does your taxes and you like them, that's cool too. The idea of the episode is just to educate you guys just a little bit so that you guys have some ammunition or some nuggets that maybe you could take to your accountant or CPA and say, hey, maybe I've heard that if I make, you know, over 50 grand a year, maybe I should be thinking about going from an LLC to an S-Corp. What do you think about that?
Yeah, 100%,
And then maybe hear what they have to say about it. Yeah. And if you don't like what they have to say, reach out to us and you could tell us what was said and we'll give you our opinion on it.
I tell people all the time, like in these events where I go speak at them, dude, I tell them all the time, I'm like, I don't care if you hire LegalZoom.
Yeah.
I don't care if you go on your state website and you set it up on your own.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Yeah.
Get some advice first. Whether you're doing it on your own, whether you're hiring someone else, whether you're hiring one of those online services, it doesn't not matter, because if you're the person in control of picking what you set up, you need to understand what you're getting yourself into. And it's worth a 30-minute conversation or even 10-minute conversation to understand that.
Yeah,
and if you're in startup mode, there's a lot of things, man. You just got to be careful. Like, a lot of people set up an LLC because they hear on the internet, they post on Facebook, like, hey, my CPA said I should
set up an LLC.
Or, you know, what should I do? And everyone all of a sudden's an expert, and they're like, I should set up, my CPA did this, so that's what you should do. And people take that information, they go and do it.
Yeah.
But dude, there is no cookie cutter approach in taxes and accounting.
There's
not. You got to do what's best for you. Reach out. There's plenty of companies like us out there.
Yeah.
We're not going to charge you anything to have a 15-20 minute call to help you identify what is the best system for you. But every year, man, we get a guy that comes to us, several of them, or gal, that are like, well, I set up my LLC. Okay, cool. Let's take a look at it. We go digging into their state, and we're like, well, you didn't elect for any status, so it defaulted to a C corporation. So now everything you've been running through this business bank account, everything, I mean, this is all it's not passed through at all. You can't pass those losses through to you now. Mm-hmm. So then now we have to go do a Schedule C and still do a corporate tax return. Now everything just got more expensive. It's like, all you got to understand, you got to get ahead of these things. And then also another big problem is people are like, well, me and my partner were doing this together. Well, what happens is when there's a second person involved and you set it up, it defaults to a partnership status. Partnerships are still taxed as sole proprietors, but they have different deadlines. They're literally the same deadlines as corporations, you know, which are March 15th and September 15th instead of April 15th and October 15th. The big problem with this is you didn't file your extension on time. And depending on how much money you made, if you didn't file your extension on time, those can be hefty fines, man.
Yeah, all the penalties that the IRS wants to come impose.
It can turn out to be $200 a month per partner for every month you don't end up getting that extension filed and then getting that those taxes cleared up on top of interest and everything. So we've seen people that went all year long that end up owing this ginormous bill to the IRS because they didn't ever file their extension on time, or if they did file, they filed it late and then they got hit with penalties there. I mean, it's stuff that you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, we own an accounting firm. Like, we see all of the terrible scenarios when we onboard a new client or customer, when we're talking to people. There's a lot of people that are in a mess right now. And if that is you, you need to make that a priority, especially now that it's November.
100%.
Like, the fact is you have roughly, you know, by the time you hear this episode, we'll release this, November
12th,
the 6th. So you guys are hearing this on probably, and again, if you don't catch it the first day that it's released, I mean, this is now almost mid-November by the time some of these people are hearing that. So you've got 6 or 7 weeks to try to figure this shit out before the end of the year. Guys, we just took 10, 15 minutes, and all we talked about was just structuring properly. That's just only one side of the business, and we could continue to talk about that for another 30 or 40 minutes. The problem with us going in depth on some of this stuff is, as Kel stated, there's so many different variables that can happen here, whether you're married or you have kids and your wife works or your husband works or they don't work. And
investments,
you know, income levels, your investments, your that. Like,
do you got oil and gas investments? Do you have 401ks? Do you have IRAs? Do you have Roth IRAs? I mean, it's all stuff that you need to understand. And that's one of the biggest points I wanted to make, not to cut you off,
no,
but
you're
like,
good.
Dude, I want people to know that, like, quarter four, there's a lot of things you can't go back and do now when the end of the year is over. Yeah. A lot of people don't start planning for their taxes because they're not due till April 15th mm-hmm. or September or whatever, depending yep. on if it's a corporation or partnership. But a lot of people put it off until after the end of the year. You should do a quarter four plan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put it off. I mean, seriously, because what if you actually looked into it and you're like, man, if I would have just put $3,000 into my 401k, that would actually drop me into a lower tax bracket.
Well, there's been times, I mean, back in the day,
which is like $900 savings or whatever, right? Yeah.
I mean, there's been times where I've known people where they were like $3,000 or $4,000 away from being underneath a lower tax bracket. So back in the day, I think it was like 150 was a new tax bracket or where mm-hmm. you lost some benefits. I think that was the child tax credit back in the day.
Yeah.
They've increased that since, but they weren't able to deduct their children because they were $3,000 or $4,000 away from that $150,000 mark. They made $154 rather than $149 mm-hmm. or $150.
Yeah.
To where that they could have then taken three or four of their children and then got another, what was it, $3,000 or something per kid? Is it that would have been another $12,000 right off of the top.
$1,000. Yeah.
Exactly. So
but here's the thing.
These little teeny things that you could be doing could be dropping you underneath
the
higher tax brackets,
right.
and you want to drop into the lowest tax bracket
exactly.
possible.
Well,
right?
Even like on health insurance, man.
Yeah,
you know, $150,000 is also the income threshold for if you qualify for any health subsidies. And so, even if you don't get under that $150,000 and you did take a subsidy on health insurance all year long, well, what happens is if you don't drop under that $150,000. They're going to go back and tax you for everything, man, yep. instead of just the minimal penalty, which is $2,000.
Yeah.
But once you're over $150,000, you don't qualify for that. And I know that's confusing, but that's the stuff you need to be looking at with your accountant in quarter four. You brought up children. Like a lot of people are starting to incorporate their kids into their business.
How
and
so?
It's very smart, man. But you can't do it when the end of the year is over because to do it, you have to actually set them up a bank account. You have to give them legal, legitimate duties with the company, and then you can pay them up to $12,000 a year. Well, now that $12,000 a year is the standard deduction, you don't pay any tax on your first $12,000. So you can pay your kids now $12,000 from your business.
And they pay zero in taxes.
You don't have to 1099 them. You don't have to W-2 them. You don't have to even file a tax return for them. You can just write it off as wages to your children. But it has to go into their bank account. You have to pay them for legitimate duties, right? Like, let's say they're an Instagram model.
Yeah, an Instagram model. Well, there was, you know, people that, you know, a guy that we know, he puts signs out. Like, let's say you're a real estate agent and you put signs in people's yard, like when you're trying to sell a house.
Mm-hmm.
You have your kids go around with you, help you pick up the signs, put the signs in, or, you know, whatever you're doing. You can figure out ways, you know, if mm-hmm. you're a real estate agent, you're taking family pictures and you're utilizing that picture to advertise what you do, whether, you know, it's photography, whether it's real estate, whether, you know, you can own a tattoo shop and your kid could be the person that sweeps the floors and takes out the trash. I mean, it could go from one industry all the way to something completely opposite.
Absolutely, man.
You can always find something for them to do.
I mean, even teaching them how to help manage your social media. I mean, look how much we pay, like not us, but people pay for social media management. Look at how much people pay for some Instagram models are making millions. So the IRS can't come and argue that your kid's not worth $12,000 a year. But the cool thing about this is why it's such a cool strategy, is because once that money leaves your business and into your child's account and they don't have to pay tax on it, you can now use that money. You can still be their money manager as their parent, and they can help out with groceries and school clothes and all the stuff that you spend on your kid anyway that's not tax deductible. You're essentially writing it off now.
Yeah.
But you can't do that January 7th.
No.
Go set up their bank account and then start flowing money to it. Like, you've got to do it before the end of the year. You know, like, yeah, pay your kid the full $12,000 in the last quarter of the year and then justify what they've been doing to help your business. And then you got that. All you're doing is flowing your money a little bit differently. If you got two kids, that's $24,000, man.
Right off the top.
Yeah.
So if you, again, if we're using the $100,000 mark, there's what are we down to now? $76,000?
Exactly.
Right? That's your new adjusted gross income that you're now paying tax on rather than the full $100,000.
Exactly.
And if you're taxed at a 20% tax bracket at $24,000, that's $5,000, $4,800.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just by paying two kids and having them on payroll doing a couple duties for your business,
Yep.
You just now saved $5,000 just with that one thing.
Exactly.
Right? Switching over from an LLC to being taxed as an S corp could now save you an additional $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. There's $15,000 just in tax savings right there. Then there's another tax tip that if you rent your house back to your corporation for corporate meetings,
exactly.
Right? Most businesses have meetings, right? What would it cost you to go rent out the Marriott to have an event or have a meeting?
Or even a board meeting,
if you own a business and you have a Christmas party, maybe you choose to do the Christmas party at your home so that you could cut yourself a $5,000 check that your business rented your home from you.
Exactly.
So you go to your business bank account, you stroke a check to yourself for $5,000 in the memo you put for renting a home.
And you can do it up to $14,000 for the year.
Yep.
And you don't have to claim as personal income, but you get to write it off with your company.
Yep.
But you can't do it in January. You got to write those checks from your company to you throughout the year. You can't do that stuff into the next year.
Yeah.
There are some things you can do, like they do allow you to like go back and put money into your 401k for the previous year up until March or April. But you know, you can't do it for some of these other cool tax strategies, man. And so that's why it's so important that people just take 30, 45 minutes and advise with someone at the end of the year and make sure you're getting this stuff, because we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in tax savings.
Yeah. I mean, guys, we've just recently, you know, and not every attorney is created equal. Not every real estate agent is created equal. Not every accountant or CPA is created equally. That's just reality. They're two totally different human beings that think different, and you want to make sure that you're working with somebody that's, one, proactive, right? If you haven't heard from your CPA or accountant all year and you haven't even seen a P&L all year for your business, you're not working with the right accounting firm. And again, we're not sitting here trying to preach to come work with us. We would love to have you if that's something that you'd like to do. But the idea is to help you guys get structured properly, help you guys understand how much money that you could put back into your pockets that you already make. What's the easiest dollar to save? The ones that you already have.
Right.
Right? Instead of having that money, $15,000 go out in taxes, we just shared two different tips with you. If you make $100,000 a year, you just save $15,000.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? And that's just a couple things. There's obviously more things that people could do, but and we've been guilty of it prior to owning an accounting firm because we didn't understand how powerful that tool is.
Yeah.
And then now we're on the other side of it and we're watching people. We click one button for a customer. We did an amended tax review for this individual. And there's a few buttons. There's number 15, 16, and 17 on a tax return. And a previous accountant hit like 15 and 17, but they didn't hit like number 16 or something. That one check mark in that box on that tax return cost that individual $9,000.
Yeah, because it allowed him to not carry his deductions forward for his extra losses.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we did an amended return. We clicked a box and got him a $9,000 tax return.
Yeah.
The other individual, one of his accountants missed his biggest expense in some of his equipment. We did a two-year tax amendment, and we got him a $25,000 tax return.
Exactly.
So the only reason
we have tons of stories like that.
The only reason why I'm telling people like that is to confirm what I just stated, that not all accountants or CPAs are created equal.
But good ones should never cost you money.
They should never cost you money. This should be a money side of your business, not an expense to the business.
Exactly.
That's the different mindset that people need to have, because instead of paying $3,000 or $4,000 a year to an accountant or CPA, you're overpaying in taxes $10,000 to $15,000 every single year. Let's say you paid them $4,000, but then they saved you $10,000. You're net $6,000.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's one of the biggest problems we see, man. They're like, well, I paid my guy last year only $1,200 for an S-Corp return and $200 for my personal return. It's like, well, dude, you didn't do any planning. You didn't do any advising throughout the year. Like, had you paid someone a little more to work with you throughout the year, let's say it was $3,000, like, dude, you wouldn't have lost all this money that you just left on the table, you know, but whatever. I mean, people live and they learn, and we're just trying to help people learn a little bit faster rather than have to go through that on your own.
Yeah.
Most likely, if you're a business owner and you have been procrastinating, putting off your taxes every year and doing the old traditional method that's broken, which is you keeping everything that you can together and then running it to an accountant at the end of the year to do it for you. I mean, that is the oldest model for small business owners, and it's the biggest you know, problem.
Yeah.
Because you're not a tax expert. So if you're just doing what you know, like, oh, I know my home office is deductible, and I know my mileage is deductible, and I know that my meals, my business meals were deductible, so I'm going to take it all to my accountant, and he's going to do my taxes for me. And that account doesn't care about you. He's just like, cool, give me the $200-$300 and I'll do your taxes, yeah, or the $1,200 depending on what return you have on. And then it's you're just planning, all hoping for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so broken. It's, yep, like you, no one cares about your money more than you do. But there are great services. There's great accountants and CPAs out there that will be proactive with you all year long so that nothing is missed all year long. And it actually makes tax time easier.
Yeah.
And it's less stressful.
Well, I mean, guys, just so that you understand, some people have to pay quarterly taxes in their business. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's not. Okay. So getting behind on your month-to-month bookkeeping is an issue, because if you don't know your numbers or know your books and you have to pay quarterly sales tax, your entity with the Secretary of State, they can basically forfeit your entity, right? Yeah. Basically get rid of it so that it's not in good status.
Right.
So I have an existing customer right now that we just onboarded this week that has this issue. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get funding and get a loan, but the loan side of it wants to verify their Secretary of State is current to make sure that it is a real and true entity.
Mm-hmm.
But because of a bookkeeping scenario, they weren't doing it all year. They never remitted any sales tax for the first three quarters. Now, it's not like they were trying to skirt it or anything like that. They're just a business owner just like all of us.
Right.
We get caught up on day-to-day shit. Like, we're trying to bring in the money and keep our damn doors open on a day-to-day basis. And when you're just trying to keep your doors open and you're trying to survive, some of those thoughts of getting your books done or your accounting in order is one of the last things that you think about when you try to go home from work and you're burnt out from a long day.
And it's the least enjoyable.
Exactly.
But the beautiful thing is you don't have to do it, yeah, man. We have cloud-based technology. All you got to do is answer some damn questions. Every month, I tell people this. I'm like, listen, do you want to spend 50 hours in tax time banging your head against the door, stressing yourself out, trying to get everything together, and then stress out about what you owe? Or would you rather just spend 15 minutes a month answering some questions from your accountant? You know what I mean? Because that's what kind of great services there are out there. Exactly.
Because I know for a fact, because I've been one of those people.
Yeah.
To where it's like the end of the year, like, I need to get some stuff in order. I meant well, but it just never happened. And then I end up overpaying and getting a large tax bill and wish I would have done this different or that. And then the same cycle repeats year after year. And I know this is hitting to some of you guys, because I know for a fact that you guys are human beings just like we are. You guys are busy with your business just like we were when we dealt with some of those same things. And we're only bringing this up because we care.
Yeah.
If you guys are doing your own accounting or doing your own bookkeeping, whatever it is, cool. You know, that's all fine and dandy. We prefer a software called Xero. It's X-E-R-O. Most people are familiar with the big juggernaut QuickBooks, right?
It's great if you know it.
It's just not as user-friendly.
Exactly.
Right? If you're doing it yourself, you're going to want to do something that's the most user-friendly. And it's kind of dumbed down to a non-accountant's brain like myself, right? Like, if I'm doing my own accounting, I want it to be as easy as possible because I'm not an accountant.
Exactly.
Right? And that's the software that we prefer to utilize, mm-hmm, because it's so simple. It's user-friendly. It's easy to run reports. It's easy to understand your numbers and have access to that data right when you need it.
It is more affordable, too, by a little bit. You know what I mean? So it's worth it in a couple different areas for sure. But even to touch on that, though, before we move on, like, on top of the quarterly thing, like, dude, it handicaps you in other areas if you're not on top of your books all year long. Like, even in, like, marketing, like, how fine-tuned are you really tracking which campaign's working over other campaigns? Or, you know what I mean? Things like that. Like, you can set those parameters up in your books with your guy so that every month you can spend 15 minutes answering some questions and then be like, also look at, like, oh, I'm actually doing a lot better with this marketing vertical, so why don't I put more money there and less money here? Same amount of money going out, but now you just made a decision in your business because your books are in order. You know, it's like, dude, you got to have those tracking verticals built in your books. And
well, I was just, to hop on that exact same point. Like, let's say, for instance, you take a big risk in your company and you decide to cut a large check for marketing, right? Yeah. You want to be able to understand the data and understand the numbers. Let's say you cut a large check in July and you look at your numbers in August and they didn't increase that much. So you stop maybe that marketing strategy, but then the following month in September, you see a huge spike, but you weren't marketing.
Right.
Maybe it just took a little bit longer for it to show its true value in terms of, like, the real issue is people don't have data to make their day-to-day business decisions, and they're making what they think is best, not making – numbers don't lie.
Yeah, they're making emotional decisions instead of intelligence.
Exactly, right? Like, utilize facts in order to make the best business decisions for you in order to grow your business properly. And I can ask 100 entrepreneurs to show me a P&L last month. 99 out of 100 can't show me a P&L, and they don't even know what their exact net profit was for that month.
You guys just
focus so much so on your company on a day-to-day basis that most accounting firms are reactive. So if you want a P&L, you have to reach out and ask for it. Here at Easier Accounting, we're required to send every one of our clients a P&L by the 10th of every single month. So we want those numbers in front of you because we know for a fact that you will be a better decision maker with inside of your business if you have access to data. We utilize data to make decisions all the time in business. You guys should be utilizing data to make decisions in business. Hell, even on Shark Tank or whatever, all they want to know is your numbers. They want to see facts.
Yeah.
That's cool that you think your business is all great in theory in your own head. We understand it's your baby, and your baby's never going to be ugly because it's yours. But let's look for real, right? And that's what proper bookkeeping will do is we'll, you, no matter how much you love your baby, but if it's only generated $1,000 that month and you spent 80 hours of time on your business, look at your numbers. See where you can trim the fat. Look at some of your expenses. If your marketing's way high,
but yet you're
not bringing.
See where
you can double down, too.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It goes both ways. Double down right here because this is working and can make you more money. Or shit, I need to trim some fat. Where do I trim it, right? So that I can bring that bottom number up.
Yeah.
If you stroke a check for 10 grand and you just continue to just do business as normal, not knowing how that marketing strategy went, you can continue to cut bad checks all the time because it's not paying for itself.
Yeah.
Right? And so
you can't run a successful business without playing the money game, man. And there's a lot of things you can do to where you don't have to do it, but you've got to be involved in it. Just answer questions, take the time. The biggest message is don't procrastinate, because that's the biggest cost when it comes to your accounting and your numbers in business, man. It's all about procrastination, and that's the biggest problem we see every time something comes over to us. It's because of procrastination.
Yep.
I don't care that your last accountant or CPA was bad.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you weren't doing your part either. You know, like, you have to be proactive. You should have fired that guy a long time ago, and if you were proactive, you would have, you know, and so.
Let's do something for the listeners. You know, again, guys, you don't have to do this. This is just something that we're going to throw out for you to kind of wrap up the episode, because obviously we're entrepreneurs. We know that talking about taxes and accounting and bookkeeping is not the sexiest subject.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people want to hear motivational rah-rah-rah shit. You know, we'll bring some of that stuff to you continually throughout the year. But we just thought this was an important topic now that it's the fourth quarter. And this is the time to where you can save yourself the majority of your money.
Yeah, we're totally winging
right
it.
Right before the – what's that?
I said we're totally winging it. Literally, Trevor came in. He's like, dude, we need to do a tax quarter. Yeah, so I don't know what you're
well,
doing.
We usually charge $2,000 for a tax plan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what I want to give any listeners that want to take it serious, and with the $2,000 tax plan, we have a guarantee where we save you at least that $2,000, if not more, and if we can't, we refund it, right? And that $2,000 gets to be saved year after year after year. So in 5 years, if you utilize that tax tip that we saved you at least $2,000 on, in 5 years, that's 10 grand on a $2,000 investment, because you get to utilize those strategies over and over and over. But what type of deal should we throw out? Should we just cut that directly in half?
Well, I did that at one event, man. Yeah, I did that at one event, and it was awesome, and people loved it.
Let's do it for $995.
Yeah, and the guarantee was really cool. They loved that because usually it's, you know, a couple thousand bucks, and we put a lot of hours into this because it's broke up into three phases, okay? We're going to do a full-on amended review.
Yeah.
So you got to get us your last 2 years' taxes, okay? We'll go through, identify all the mistakes that you've been making. Then we're going to look at your industry, your business, and what you are utilizing as far as your deductions, and we're going to look at everything you're eligible for, and we're going to look at your books, and we're going to analyze what are you missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a very simple guide of fix these mistakes, add these things. It's a very direct roadmap to a summary, which is going to say, if you fix this, if you add that, you are going to save this.
You'll save $5,000. Guys, it's not uncommon that we save people at least $5,000 to $10,000 on a tax plan. Like, that's why we can do it, match the $2,000 guarantee. And for $995, we'll still do the exact same thing. If we can't save you or show you at least $2,000 in tax savings, we'll just refund the $995 and you'll just have a tax plan done for free. Mm-hmm. And at least you'll have peace of mind knowing that your CPA or accountant, whoever's doing your stuff right now, is doing a killer job.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that most people don't know. They always think about in the back of their head, are they good? Are they doing a good job? And you don't know unless you get a third party's opinion,
yeah.
Which is something that we could ultimately give with inside of a tax plan. And if we can't show them at least $2,000 in savings, the $995 goes back to you. It didn't cost you a dime.
How are we going to track this? Should we have Corey?
Okay.
This pricing's only available on
easieraccounting.com/RBO.
R for real.
B for business. O for...
October. They get it, I'm sure.
Yeah. The whole point of why we want to do that, guys, is so that you don't come in just on our regular website and then you get charged $2,000 the tax plan.
Exactly.
We're just trying to basically give you guys $1,000 in savings and then show you guys how to save thousands of dollars within the last 6 weeks of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, as Kel's alluded to multiple times, by the time it hits January 1, you're basically screwed.
You do miss out on some strategies, sure.
So,
and then also, dude, not even that, bro, but like, how about that guy we did a tax plan for? He paid a little more than that.
Yeah.
Over $100,000 we saved him just because his old CPA never captured his basis. Wasn't that what happened?
Yeah.
You're the one that told me that story.
Yeah.
You and Jared.
It was Cam, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
dude.
It was.
Like,
it's
that's our, the thing.
This
is
this
worth
is one of
look.
Our buddies. This is one of our buddies. And he's like, dude, I know for a fact that I overpaid. Like, I want you guys to look at it. It was $110,000 that we saved him.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what I want people to understand,
but
man.
He makes
like
a shit ton of money.
There's a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It's all relative. But at the end of the day, like, so much value by just getting a little bit of plan and putting in.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys spent an hour just getting us your tax returns and go through a little interview with our accounting staff. You're going to spend about an hour. We're going to spend about 5 to 10 hours, depending on what you got
behind
going on,
scenes,
to find all these mistakes that have been being made and these things that you can now add and subtract and strategize around to where we can show you these type of savings. I mean, we hear 25,000, 40,000, 10,000, 9,000, 4,000 all the time.
Yeah.
Guys, it sounds like I'm selling it, dude.
I know, I'm passionate about it. That's what I'm like worried about. I'm like, are we?
I just
like,
don't want people to procrastinate. I don't care. Go to someone else will actually plan with you.
Yeah, like that's my concern too. Is I just don't want you guys to feel like we're here just to sell, and that's what it's about. It's about you guys. The whole point of Real Business Owners is trying to bring you guys real value. Now, if it's us literally doing business with you and bringing value that way, cool. If it's you just listening to us and taking it to somebody else and having them review it or a different third-party accounting firm from your current account, cool.
Yeah.
But one, get a plan in place. Make sure you're structured properly entity-wise. The plan in place are some of the tax tips that we talked about today. Maybe mm-hmm. there's additional tax tips. Not maybe. There for sure
there's
is.
There's endless.
Yeah, there for sure is. And make sure that you do proper bookkeeping throughout the year so that you can make better business decisions. This is true and real facts by people who were like uber successful. Mm-hmm. A lot of the small businesses miss out on that and they become stagnant in business or they plateau. They hit like $1 million a year in revenue and then they're stuck at $1 million every single year because they're not proactive on the accounting side so that they can make better business decisions and maybe hit $1.2 million.
Exactly.
And then, you know, trim some fat here and be more profitable on the $1.2 million.
Yep.
Or double down on that marketing strategy and turn it into $1.4 million or whatever it is. Guys, the shit we're talking about today is just real shit that entrepreneurs have to worry about on a day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year basis.
And you got to be responsible, man, because no one's going to care about your money more than you. I know I've already said that through the episode, but like, honestly, you have to take the initiative. You have to not procrastinate.
Yep.
Understand that, please.
Yep. Guys, we love you. That's the only reason why we're telling you what we're telling you. You know, if you want to work with us, great. We'd love to do it. You know, we're incentivizing you guys to do it. But if you don't, that's cool too. But get your shit in order. Get your shit in order so it doesn't become a headache. That's the message today. That's really what we wanted to bring to the table because We know the end of the year is right there upon us. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving's going to happen. Christmas is going to happen. We are going to get busier throughout the holiday season. All this shit's going to go to the back burner, and then it's going to turn January 1, and you're going to overpay again this year in taxes. That's what happens year after year, right? And then you wonder, damn, am I doing something wrong? Yeah, you are. You're not being proactive. That's what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You're probably operating a great business. You have a lot of passion for your business. And if you really do have passion for your business, make sure you do the back end shit too. Don't just worry about the money funneling
in. Well, at least get a system in place with the right people so that you don't have to do it, but it's still taking care of itself, you know?
Guys, we hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please rate and review the episode. Share it with a friend or family member or anybody that's in business that maybe could get value out of this. We appreciate you guys supporting us and showing us the amount of love that you've given us so far with the Instagram, with the podcast. And we continue to think about more and more stuff that we can bring to you guys and deliver to bring value. And we're going to continue to up our game for you guys. So we appreciate it. Guys, hope you have an awesome day.